to you already. Brother Shane texted me yesterday morning. He told me how sick he was and still, and he said how much he was coughing and how bad off he was. And in the back of my mind, I said, I know where this is going. I know what that means. And so he gave me the opportunity to preach again to y'all this morning. It's a good opportunity. So it looks like you'll be hearing from me at least one more time this morning. And honestly, who knows what's going to happen next. I've given up trying to figure this thing out. I hope Brother Shane is healthy and back soon. But who knows? We're just going to trust the Lord. And fret not, Brother Jared Hoosier is going to be preaching for us tonight. And I know even if nothing here this morning is going to help you, I know he is a great man of God and you will be blessed to hear his sermon tonight. So come out and join us tonight for Brother Jared Hoosier. And I was talking to Brother Ryan yesterday, and he heard that I was preaching this morning, and he said, I guess you get to do a third farewell sermon. I said, I don't know how that works or how we've gotten here, but apparently it didn't work the first two times. So we're going to try it one more time and see if it works this time. But for those of you who have been here all three times now for these sermons and these teachings, you have witnessed and mastered one of the fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering. And I appreciate that, and I thank you for it. But the truth is, and I'll be honest with you, before Brother Shane ever reached out to me yesterday morning to preach today, I had already felt the Lord lay a message on my heart. I didn't know when I was going to get to preach it. I didn't realize it was going to be this soon. But I can tell you honestly and as humble as I know how that I've heard from the Lord and that he has a message for his people this morning, even in these different circumstances. So I just want to preach what he's given me. I'm thankful for the opportunity, and I just want the Lord to have his way. Amen. So if you have your Bibles here this morning, turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 7. We're going to be skipping around a little bit in Romans chapter 7, but I'll try my best to read out the numbers so you can see where we're at. Romans chapter 7, and eventually we're going to land in verse 1 of chapter 8, so just keep your Bibles handy for that. Romans chapter 7, verse 24, if you're there, say amen. I need a few more amens, so I'll give you a second. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 reads like this. And this commandment, this is actually verse 10, sorry. And this commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then finally, we're going to go over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 to see the answer to all of this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How many can say amen to the reading of God's word this morning? How many know that you could be in a lot of different places this morning? You could be sleeping at home. You could be at a ball game. You could be getting overtime hours at the work. You could be shopping. You could be taking care of chores. You could be cutting the grass. There is a lot of things that you could be doing this morning. But how many also know that this is the best possible place that you could be this morning? I'm telling you, the best place to be on a Sunday morning is in the house of God. And all these years later, I'm still thankful and I'm still glad and happy when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the best place you could be this morning. And out of everything I listed, not one of them can feed your soul. Not one of them could bring you lasting joy. Not one of them could give you perfect peace. This is the only place that can do that because God is here and he wants to meet us this morning. Likewise, we know that there's going to be a multitude of positions that you could be in this morning with nearly limitless options. It can be kind of daunting to know where you should be or even where you are out of all positions. So without taking up too much of your time this morning, I want to preach a simple message on the best possible position you could be in. The best possible position you could be. And would you stretch forth your hand this way and ask the good Lord to anoint us. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, for loving us. And one more time, we're praying, God, put your hand upon this service and put your hand upon your servant, God, that I would not just talk about you, but allow me to preach for you. Let your word go forth and not return void. God, transform every heart and life by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let us leave here knowing that we have been touched by the hand of the Master. And let us be in Jesus Christ at the end of it all. Touch every heart and life. And above all things, let your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you, God, for loving us. Amen. At the shipyard, there is a program for those who do not yet know what position they want to be in. And many of you are either in the shipyard, have worked the shipyard, familiar with it, so maybe you're familiar with this program. These employees join the program, and every couple of months, they're going to be moved to a new position so they can try it out, and they're going to keep on moving until they find one that they like. So you might be in IT one day, cybersecurity the next day, electrical engineering the next day. Over the course of a year or 2 years, you can move on to a lot of different positions and try them out. Likewise, for those who have found a position that they like, there is a rotation system in which your boss can rotate you around within the field that you are working to get more experience changing your position once again. So even if you found the position you like, you can still be rotating within that position. And in fact, while this may sound completely contradictory to how some of y'all were taught and raised, when you are in school to get your degree for cybersecurity, they recommend that you do not stay in the same job or position for more than just a few years. Because if so, you will be missing out. If you want to be successful in cybersecurity, you got to keep on moving positions. So the longer we get into this thing, the less people are staying at places for decades at a time. Most of the time, they're going to be there for 2 or 3 years, and they want a new position. And this is the situation we find Paul in Romans chapter 7. Paul was the Pharisee, and he was formerly known as Saul. He was the Pharisee. He knew the Torah inside and out. He knew the law like the back of his hand. And yet when he came in contact with Christ, the one that he had been persecuting, he knew something was wrong. Because he thought he'd been serving this man for all these years, and then he realizes that he's been persecuting this man for all these years. When he comes in contact with Jesus, he knows something is wrong. We see that he knows who he wants to be. He knows what position he wants to be in. And yet he says, "For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me." Sin had slain Paul. Verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Paul had been sold under sin, and even after his conversion, he still sees the body of death. Verse 24 says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this position of death?" He knew the position he was in. He knew where he was at. He knew where he had come from, but he also knew the position he wanted to be in, but he didn't know the answer. He didn't know what was stopping him, and I don't know where this message finds you this morning. You might be here, and you might have been saved for decades, and you might be here and you're still sold under sin. You might be a slave to Satan and an old taskmaster, or you might be a saint of God. You might be happy, or you might be full of sorrow. You might be joyous, or you might be full of heartache and pain. You might be on the mountaintop, or you might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You might have victory in every area of your life, or you might be living in despair and in depression and in agony. You might be victorious or surrounded by temptation, getting pulled every which way, having your mind turned into a battleground. The fact is, whether you're living in sin and sorrow or living in victory, you can put the same smile on and fool the whole church. You can fool your whole family. You can fool the world, and you might even be fooling yourself. But let me tell you, brother and sister, regardless of where you're at and regardless of the condition of your soul, regardless of the condition of your mind, regardless of what position you walk through those doors in, that's not the position you have to leave in. I don't know how you came in this place, but you don't got to leave the same way you came. The world will cry out, get a counselor to ease your mind. They'll tell you to get in drugs to numb the pain. They'll say, get in counseling for the mind. They'll say, get in love with yourself. Get in love with your self-image. Get in love with your self-brand and your self-worth so that nothing else matters. Can I tell you that all these things will leave you empty? And while some tactics might put a band-aid on the scar, they never deal with the wound. They never deal with the root cause. They never deal with what caused it in the first place. So let me tell you, depressed and worn down saints, the best possible position you can get in, let me tell you, if you're bound and addicted sinner, the best possible position you can get in this morning, it's not a new position at work. It's not a new location for your home, but it is solely in Jesus Christ, the only spotless, the only perfect, altogether lovely, wonderful, holy counselor, Son of the living God. I don't know where you're at, but I can tell you where you could be. You could be in Jesus Christ, and above all else, that is the best possible position you could be in this morning, is in Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, bring your sorrow and bring your sin to the foot of the cross, and there you will find that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't know what position you came in, but I can tell you on the authority of God's word what position you can leave in, and that is in the security and the love and the joy and the peace of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God who came to die for you. I don't know where you're at, but I can tell you where you could be in Jesus Christ. Whether we are saved or lost this morning, eventually you're going to have to come to terms with the fact that on your own, you're not good enough to live victorious, and you're surely not good enough to make it to heaven. On your own. Just listen to the words of Jesus as he teaches his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." These are daunting words. This alone would have seemed nearly impossible to the disciples. And you've got to realize, at this time, the disciples hadn't been in this thing for years. They hadn't been serving God for years. They hadn't been with Jesus for years. This is one of the first things he teaches them. Unless your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees, you're not making it in. And you've got to realize the Pharisees were the religious rulers of Israel. They were the holy men of God. They were the teachers of the Torah. They were given to the law of Moses. By the time they were a teenager, many of them had memorized the Torah. These men knew the Torah. They knew the scripture. They were meant to be holy men of God. They would go out and try to cast out devils. They would go out and teach the people. These were the examples to Israel of how to live righteous. So to exceed their righteousness sounds like an impossibility, especially when Isaiah said, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness is what? As filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." So we see That first of all, he says be righteous, and not only be righteous, exceed the Pharisees' righteousness, but in their mind, they're thinking, but Isaiah said our filthiness is as filthy rags. And then we see that Paul would write later in Romans, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So we realize our righteousness is as filthy rags, and yet Jesus tells us the only way to make it to heaven is to be more righteous than the holy Pharisees of Israel. And if that's where Jesus stopped, that alone would be enough to keep us from heaven. But Jesus doesn't stop there. But in the last verse of chapter 5, he says something infinitely more impossible. In verse 48 of chapter 5 of Matthew, he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Let me tell you something. You have a much better chance being more righteous than the Pharisees than you ever have becoming perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. His ways are past finding out. There is no sin in him, nor is he tempted by sin. He is completely just. He is completely righteous. He is completely holy. He is holiness personified, and he is absolutely in every conceivable and non-conceivable way perfect. There is nothing but perfection in him. Your Father, which art in heaven, is absolutely to the nth degree and further perfect. He is holy. And guess what? Is there any attributes that apply to you? Are we perfectly holy? Are we perfectly righteous? Are we everlasting? No, none of these things apply to us. So if we must be more righteous than the Pharisees, if Jesus is going to tell us to be as perfect as God is to make it to heaven, then there is no possible way in and of ourselves that we are making it. And that's the bad news. There is no way whatsoever you can be perfect or on your own you can be righteous. So thank God Paul doesn't stop in Romans 3, and he doesn't stop in Romans 7, but he opens up Romans chapter 8 by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin. What did he do? He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank God Jesus was willing to humble himself. Thank God Jesus was willing to become man. Thank God Jesus was willing to take on our filth and our perversion and our sin and our filthy rags. Thank God that Jesus was willing to hang on a tree. Thank God that he was willing to be buried in the ground. And thank God forever that he rose on the third day. And now if you're in Christ Jesus, his righteousness becomes your righteousness, and his perfection becomes your perfection, so that he stands before the Father as a mediator, and he declares night and day the righteousness of the saints which are in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to be in Jesus, because I can't make it to heaven on my own. I'm not perfect on my own, but I look into the one that hung on a tree. I look into the one that got up the third day, and he has become my righteousness. He has become my perfection. He is my only way to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Get in Christ Jesus this morning. He is altogether lovely. He is our mediator. He is righteous. Beloved, it is not your works that allowed God to declare you righteous. It is not what you've done that declares you as perfect. It is solely your position in Jesus Christ. So if you want to make it a heaven saint, or if you want to be saved sinner, it won't happen by getting next to Christ. It won't happen by getting behind Christ. You can't get in front of Christ. But the only place to make it into heaven is within Christ. It is solely in Jesus Christ. The only place of safety, the only place of salvation, the only way to the Father is in Jesus Christ. So regardless of the position you came in, leave in Jesus Christ with your mind made up. I will serve the Lord, and I'm making it all the way. I guarantee you, it is the best possible position you could ever be in. I don't know who you are, where you've been for your whole life, but I'm telling you, it's the best possible position you could ever be in. If you make up your mind of nothing else this morning, make up your mind, I'm leaving those doors solely in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are to first stay, get in Christ, and secondly, we see to stay in Christ. Did you know that 75% of all employees in the U.S. do not stay at a job for more than 5 years? 75%. The fact is, we as Americans have a tendency to become discontent easily with what we have or where we're at. For example, if you get a new 2020 car that you've been looking at for months now, I'm talking it has all the specs, it has the exact technology you want, it's in the right paint job, everything's perfect. When you buy that thing, you're probably feeling pretty good as you drive her home. That is until you drive home and see the brand new 2023 baby blue convertible Mustang GT in your neighbor's yard in front of their brand new garage that they just installed, and it's all being powered by the solar panels they just put on their house, and they're not paying anything for electricity. Then you'll probably move on from one tent to the other. You're going to be from contentment and now you're back to discontentment. You've moved tense again that fast. You can go from satisfied with where you're at to already saying, man, I wish I had that. We don't like keeping the same old stuff as everyone else. We don't like keeping our stuff as we see everybody else upgrades. We don't like staying in the same position while everybody else gets promoted. It's naturally just against our tendency. But the Bible tells us there's only one position you need to stay in. Jesus would say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, and it withereth not. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, there's if again, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. These are the first few verses of John chapter 15, and we see some beautiful promises, we see some principles, and we see some dangerous warnings as well. Firstly, Jesus calls himself the true vine and calls his Father the husbandman, which means the farmer or the tenant of the garden. This sets the scene, and then Jesus is going to give us his first principle. In verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, nor more can you, except ye abide in me. Just as much as it is impossible in nature for a branch on the side of a road to naturally bear fruit without being connected to a source of life, neither can you bear fruit without being connected to the well of living water, the source of ultimate life, Jesus Christ. If you want to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance, the fruit of the Spirit, then you must abide in Christ. If you want to be an effective witness on the job, if you want to be a loving father or mother to your family, if you want to have peace that passes all understanding, if you want to grow in your faith towards God, and if you want to have true joy that the world cannot give and it cannot take away, then you must abide in Christ. We already sang it here today. He abides, and guess what? You've got to abide too. Ye must abide in Christ. Amen. And not only will you bear a little fruit, occasionally, every once in a while, if you're lucky, but Jesus gives the fruit of his first two promises and verse 5. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If ye abide in Christ, then the glorious promise is he abides in you. And thank God the Comforter abides in me. And if we didn't read another word of our text, that alone should be enough to send you home in joy. You are not alone. You are not forgotten. You are not asked to stand on your own. You are not asked to make it on your own. But if you abide in him, guess what, beloved? He abides in you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But listen to this. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I'm glad he abides with us forever. But I shall rejoice over the last words. For he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. You might have come here empty, but you can leave here with the very Spirit of God dwelling in you. You might have come depressed and in sorrow, but you can leave singing hallelujah. He abides in me. He abides me. Hallelujah. He abides in me. I'm telling you, get in Christ and Christ will get in you. Get in Jesus and the Comforter will get in you. And you can say like the psalmist, he abides in me. Amen. That's a blessed thing to say that the world cannot say. They're empty, they're lonely, they're forsaken. But on a Sunday morning, I can tell you that he abides in me. I have no question if he's alive. I got no question if he's still in existence, because I felt him this morning. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, he still abides. He still abides. And I implore you, before you leave this house, make up your mind. I'm getting in Christ because he's getting in me. I'm getting in Christ because I want him to abide with me forever. And when you abide in him, and when he abides in you, then you can produce much fruit. Then ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You can go to the Lord in prayer with confidence, knowing he's going to meet your petition, knowing he's going to answer your prayer, because you are a son of the living God. You are a brother of Jesus Christ, a sister of Jesus Christ. And if you're in him, ask what ye will, and it shall be done to you. If you're in him, then the Father is glorified that ye bear much fruit. And if you are in him, Jesus says, then you are my disciples. Hey, beloved, if you want to bear much fruit, if you want Christ to dwell in you, if you want the Lord to answer prayer you have, if you want to glorify the Father, and if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then allow me to tell you about the best possible position you could get yourself in and stay in this morning, and that is solely, securely, eternally in Jesus Christ, the righteous, the source of all life, the sustainer of all joy, the rock that is higher than I, my glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, get in Christ, and don't just get in him, but stay in him, abide in him. As everybody else compromises, stay in Christ. As everybody else leaves, stay in Christ, and he will stay in you. Amen. If you've been saved 5 minutes, or if you've been saved 50 years, I can tell you, you've come too far to turn back now. You've got too much to gain to lose. Get in Christ. And regardless if the church up the road compromises, regardless if your favorite preacher backslides, regardless if the whole world seems to fall down around you, stay in Christ. And I promise you, you will be in the very best possible position. Get in Christ. Stay in Christ. And lastly, leave in Christ. For those of you who have worked in the shipyard, and I know I keep on going back to this, or at least if you are familiar with how it works, then you'll know that when someone has worked there for 40 years, then they officially become a master shipbuilder. And that is a high title. There are only a very few master shipbuilders at the yard out of the 20 plus thousand employees working there every day, and is a high honor. They have a ceremony for them. An email goes out to the whole company. I don't even know these people, but I see them pop up on my screen. Master shipbuilder. It's a high honor. And with this high honor, you receive a premium parking spot, which is priceless if you are familiar with how the shipyard parks. I'm telling you, that's more precious than gold. That is priceless, having a premium parking spot. And besides that, you get a special jacket that only master shipbuilders have. And that's good and all. That's great. That's wonderful. That is a high honor, and I would not take that away from anybody. Good for you. It is an achievement to be proud of. But if that was all someone had to show for their life, then that's no way to leave this world. I was walking out of the shipyard one day, and I saw a very elderly man sitting down in the kiosk area, and I saw this young woman talking to him. And I heard her ask how long he had been working there, and he said he had been working there for well over 40 years, and I think that was going to be the very last day he was there. And I walked out and I almost began to cry, thinking that if he didn't know Christ, if he doesn't attend church, if he doesn't claim to be saved, then when he stands before God, all he will have to show for the majority of his life is a jacket and a parking spot. That's all he's going to have to show before God. If he leaves this world with that being his only achievements and accomplishments, then he's going to have to face a thrice holy God. He's going to have to face the ultimate judge. And the only thing he's going to have to show for his life is a jacket and a parking spot. I'm telling you, you might have entered into this world empty and with nothing, but I hope and pray you don't leave this world in that same position.
position you might have entered in this world without knowing God. But I hope that's not the way you leave this world. I hope you leave having accomplished great things. I hope you leave having given much to missions. I hope you leave having raised a godly family. I hope you leave having spent much of your time within these four walls. But more than any of that, if you never get a jacket that shows you're master shipbuilder, if you never get a premium parking spot, I hope you leave in Christ. I hope you leave in Jesus. More than I want you anything else, I hope you leave in Jesus Christ. I would hate to face eternity by myself with my own accomplishments and all that's had to show. I would hate to face eternity uncertain with where I stand with God. I would hate to have to face a righteous king. I would hate to have to face him with nothing to show for it. And I would hate to face him even if I was a king, even if I was a president, even if I was a celebrity, and I had no other position but Jesus Christ. Even if I was a king, if I didn't know God, I would be ashamed and I would be afraid to stand before thrice holy God. I'm telling you, it's fearful to fall into the hands of a righteous God. I'm telling you, on that day, there'll be many that said, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. And he'll look back at them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'm telling you, it's not worth it to leave any other way than securely in Jesus Christ. If you don't do anything else, get in Christ, stay in Christ, and leave in Christ, and that alone will be enough for you to open up the doors of heaven and walk through the pearly gates. Leave in Christ. And maybe there's someone here this morning, maybe they're present, maybe they're online, I don't know, and maybe you're looking towards eternity, maybe you're looking death in the eyes, and you're terrified. Well, allow me to one last time this morning show you the best possible position you could be in as you get ready to leave this world. But I would not have ye to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that this morning? Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm telling you, if you're not saved, I can't make you any promise. If you're not saved, I can't give you any hope. Oh, but let me comfort you this morning, saints. If you are in Christ, if you've lost yourself in Christ, then death has lost its sting, and victory is over the grave. Because I'm telling you, when you get in Christ, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm telling you, on the authority of God's word, the best possible position to leave this world in is in Jesus Christ. It's securely in the hands of a loving God. And you can go to heaven with your mind made up, I know I'm making it. You can face death saying, I know I'm making it. You can face uncertainty saying, I know in whom I have believed. And when that trump shall sound, I'm going to be caught up. I'm going to be changed, and I will be with him forever. I'm telling you, get in Christ, stay in Christ, and make up your mind, come what may. I'm leaving in Christ. Let hell come against me, I'm leaving in Christ. Let anything come, I'm leaving in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when that trumpet sounds, there's no better place to be in but Jesus Christ. When you got to face death, there's no better place to be in than Jesus Christ. When you feel the hand of death, you can look up to the giver of life. life and say, I'm secured. My name's written down. My name's on his palm of his hand. And when I stand before him, he will say, enter in into the joy of the Lord. I'm telling you, it pays to stay in Christ. It pays to live in Christ. This is the unequivocal best possible position you could ever live in. There is hope and blessed assurance for the future, regardless of how you face and regardless of what you leave, as long as you leave in Jesus Christ. There is no fear. There is no worry. There is no possibility of you not being in heaven if you are saved and in God. I can promise you, with the authority of God's word, you will stand before the Lord and he will say, enter in. My question is, is there anything worth you not hearing enter in? Is there anything worth you not hearing come and enjoy with me? Come and sup with me. Come and enter into the joy of the Lord. Is there anything worth you not hearing those words? I'm telling you, there's nothing and nobody worth you missing heaven over. But if anything else fails, if the economy fails, if the nation of America goes down to dust, make up your mind. I'm going to get in Christ. No matter what happens, I'm going to stay in Christ. And no matter how I leave this world, I'm going to leave it in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm closing as we stand all over this building and someone comes to the piano. The Lord laid this message on my heart yesterday, and I know without a shadow of a doubt somebody needed to hear it. There is no peace or joy in this world outside of Christ, and there is no hope for the future outside of Christ. Oh, but in Christ, there is pleasures forevermore at his right hand. There is riches forever. There is a kingdom that is coming, and all those that have the blood, all those that are in Christ Jesus, we will rule and reign with Christ forever. I don't know where this finds you. I don't know how you came in. I don't know if you're saved or you're lost, but it does not matter. At the end of the day, all of us need to make sure we are secure in Jesus Christ. We all need to check ourselves and make sure, am I in Christ? Is there anything he's not pleased with? Is there anything that's keeping me from him? I want you to leave today knowing that you know, that you know, that you know, without a shadow of a doubt, I am in Jesus, and I'm going to leave with that same promise. So if we could everyone bow their head and close their eyes real quickly? I just want a moment of honesty between you and God, and then we're going to come to the pray at these altars. And I would never call anybody else. I would never try to call somebody out or embarrass them or anything like that. So instead, can everybody that knows that they know that they know that they're in Christ, could you raise your hand and say, Lord, I know that I'm in you. I know there's nothing keeping me from you. I know I'm ready should you come today. And if you're not able to raise your hand, don't be embarrassed. Get in Christ. If you're not sure, don't be embarrassed. Get in Christ, and you can leave the doors knowing I am ready. Should he call today, I am ready. Should the trumpet sound this moment, I am ready. So everyone that would, can we come to these altars? Can we make up our mind? I'm not leaving the same way I came. I will leave in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.